We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is. The 7 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet at WQAM.com. You can tune in live. WQAM.com or on your smartphone. That's what I was looking for. At the TuneIn Radio app or the Radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. If you want to get in and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560, you can get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022. But please do not text and drive. Derek Jeter. We're going to play some audio from Jeter later this hour. We'll also, by the way, later this hour, play a big soccer goal in four different languages. I love doing that, where you get multiple different languages for the call, and we decide which who did it best. But here's the disclaimer. I couldn't find a good Spanish call, surprisingly enough, because I'm looking for YouTube videos. I couldn't find one that didn't like kind of skip around in the highlight. So I've got it in four different languages, not including Spanish. So just know that going in. But a couple of them I thought turned out splendid. We'll hear from Derek Jeter later this hour. We'll hear from Dwayne Wade later on this segment. But what's it going to take for Derek Jeter to instill some confidence? Is there anything he can do right now to instill confidence? Because after the trades, after the fire sale that's going on, after the leaked documents from Project Wolverine, is there any way for Derek Jeter to earn some faith from the fan base before the team actually starts winning? Is that the only way? The only way for Derek Jeter to climb out of the hole that he's dug himself into since taking over this franchise? And who would have thought? Who would have thought that the guy who took over for Jeffrey Loria wouldn't be instantly more popular? That he's having this many problems winning over the South Florida fan base? And yeah, I guess when your first order of business is to trade any of the players who fans know, that's a very tough way to get started. But I also feel like we've reached this point where everything Jeter does gets criticized no matter what. Was anybody else surprised by the outrage or fake outrage for Derek Jeter canceling the sea creature races? Like, how many of you actually knew that they race sea creatures at Marlins games? But then the tweet comes out, the report comes out, oh, Derek Jeter is getting rid of these sea creature races, and people are MFing this guy up and down. Oh, how could he do this? It's like, how many of you even knew that that happened at Marlins games? I only knew it because I've been to, I guess, like four or five games since they opened that new ballpark. Haven't been to that many, to be honest with you, because you know, I was very much against putting money in Jeffrey Loria's pockets, but I had been to a handful of games at Marlins Park. And so I know that the sea creature races happen the same way they have the milkshake races at Mark Light. But to pretend your outrage over the sea creature races being canceled, I don't think people are going to give any decision Derek Jeter makes a chance, except I think a lot of people are on board with the idea of getting rid of the home run sculpture. That might be like the one popular thing this guy can do before the team actually, potentially, whether it's 5, 10, 50 years from now, before the team actually starts winning games consistently. Maybe the one thing he can do to win over a few fans is to tear down that home run sculpture. But I don't even know how he does that. I don't know how you actually get that sculpture torn down when you have these laws about art in public buildings. Maybe if you tear that down, you have to replace it with some god-awful mural in center field. I don't know how he does that. But Derek Jeter, I don't think there's anything this guy can do outside of literally turning the franchise around to instill some trust in people, because ever since he came in and traded Stanton and traded Yelich and traded D. Gordon, He's dug himself into such a giant hole. I see it very difficult to think that he's going to get out of this anytime soon. 56022 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get at us via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. All right, now we're talking. A couple people wrote in. He wants to win the fans back. He can sell the team. He can sell the team to the Moss brothers. You know what? I'm happy with where the Moss brothers are right now, man. I am happy that the Moss brothers are involved in David Beckham's MLS franchise, because I don't think that even happens if not for Derek Jeter winning his bid to buy the Marlins. How ironic is that? That soccer in this city is happening thanks to Derek Jeter. Thanks to the fact that Major League Baseball favored and fast-tracked empty pockets Jeter to buy the team, even though the deep pocket Moss brothers wanted to buy the team. They chose Jeter over Jorge and Jose Moss. And what ended up happening was Jorge and Jose Moss, frustrated and failing to win the bid for the Marlins, focused their attention to helping Mauricio Clare and David Beckham put their soccer franchise together, and they saved it. They saved it back in December when it looked like it was dying on the vine. So you wouldn't have soccer, Major League Soccer. You do have Miami FC, but you wouldn't have Major League Soccer in this town if not for Derek Jeter winning that bid over the Moss brothers. Let's talk to Bert in Key Biscayne. What's up, Bert?
Hey, how's it going, Alex? Long time no hear.
Long time no hear to you, my friend. What's on your mind tonight?
Not much. Listen, man, I know everybody's pissed off at Jeter, this and that, but this is my take on it. Okay, I know how fans are, and I'm the same way. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. I support the Marlins too, you know? And I hate when one of my favorite players leave the organization and go somewhere else. I get all that.
Yeah.
When you start a franchise, you're not going to please everybody. It's impossible, you know? But what he's doing, check this out. The Marlins went from 20, as I was telling Tito on the other side, the Marlins went from 29th in MLB prospect last year, which is horrible.
Terrible.
To 19th in a couple of months. Now, on paper, in offense, they don't have that bad of a team. I already checked it out.
Okay.
They got speed. They got Boer. They got Ramoto still. They could work around it, you know, a little bit. The only problem is, which is a big problem.
Pitching.
It's pitching. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And relief pitching. Now, if they could work around that, they're going to be a nice.
Yeah, but how do you work around that though? Like honestly, like how you can't win experience in the majors if you don't have pitching. Like there's no way to work around
that. No way. No, the offense will not. I mean, they could take you a long way, but it won't take you to where you have to go. Pitching, it's 95%. I mean, 90%.
Yeah, easily
of your whole team. You know, but once you get that confidence in those kids, and I know Mattingly would, you know, could, because he's all, you know, he's been around players for a long time, and they look up to him. That's the way it starts, you know. And I bet you, if they start winning, like these fan bases are, they go against whether win or lose. Though I really, you know, go no matter what, they'll get the fan base back once they start winning. It shouldn't be like that. You should always go to the games no matter what, whether win or lose. You should always be behind your team. That's my take on it.
The team has to do their part, though, Bird. It's like
no, I agree.
No, I understand what you're saying, but it's like people always like praise, you know, Cubs fans and Yankees fans when they have down years for showing up. But it's like, you know, those teams are always trying and they're always spending money, right? Like even when great franchises have bad years, it's like, yeah, the fans keep showing up because the fans have hope for the future. Like they trust their management, and Marlins fans have no reason to trust anybody.
I know, and the wave happened. I completely understand. All I have to say is, you have to give it time. You have to give it a chance. Like I said, once they start winning,
right,
you can get everybody back. You know that. It's all about, look at Dwayne Wade when he came back. The tickets went, I'm not kidding you, the tickets went from 100 to like about 300, 400, 500. People still went. That's all it takes. Little things here, little things there.
All right, Bert. Thanks for the call, man.
My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
Always. And listen, I think he, and I love Bird, I think he represents like the more optimistic fan. It's just, you got to build equity over the long term. And I'm not saying it's impossible for Derek Jeter to do that. This was a good text here, 56022. I think Jeter started off badly. As the saying goes, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Yeah, when your first day in, you're digging a hole with the fan base, then it's hard to regain that trust. But, I mean, rooting for the Marlins, you don't see this a whole lot in American sports, where the NFL, you know, there's parity. You've got a cap floor, a cap ceiling. NBA, same thing. You're you're picking players from the same draft. There's a lot of parity there. So I know that you have some terrible NFL games, some bad NBA teams, but theoretically speaking, there is a certain amount of parity there. Less of that exists in Major League Baseball because they don't have a salary cap, but it's getting to the point with a team like the Marlins that it's like trying to root for a provincial soccer club. I know what you know what I'm talking about, Tito, where you, in like European soccer leagues, you don't have the same kind of equalitarian system that you have in American sports leagues, where you get to draft from the same pool of players. In most American sports leagues, there's a salary cap floor, a salary cap ceiling. Like, it's like rooting for a small provincial soccer club where you know that you've got a 19 or 20-year-old great player. As soon as they become known that this player is great, they're going to Real Madrid, they're going to Barcelona, they're going to Manchester City, they're going to Chelsea, they're going to Juventus, they're going to one of these big clubs. So you know it's like it's hopeless because you can't hold on to anybody. American sports are not usually like that, but you start to feel like in rooting for the Miami Marlins, it's like rooting for a provincial soccer club. It's not to say you'll never have good players, but as soon as that good player turns 21 or 22, he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a revolving door here for good players. And, I mean, you can go back, the Miguel Cabreras, the Hanley Ramirez's, and, I mean, just like all the players they let walk out the door this past offseason, it's really tough to continue to invest emotion and time into this franchise.
Yeah, and I think that the real trust has got to be built over a decade. I think it's going to take that long. Like, if you can see, because, okay, they're replenishing the farm system, right, that – Bert talked about how they've gone from 29th to 19th already in the farm system rankings. You've got to let those guys actually reach the point where they're elite players and show us you're going to hold on to most, if not all of them. Like, I think that's how you build some of that trust back. Toronto Raptors off to a 12-9 lead over the Miami Heat midway through the first quarter. This is a huge game and a huge opportunity for the Heat to knock off a team sitting at the peak of the Eastern Conference right now. And will Dwayne Wade be able to provide some spark and some magic here tonight? Is the Heat on the road north of the border? I want to play some more of this conversation that that Dwayne Wade had with George Sedano this week, our buddy, QAM alum, George Sedano. Here is D. Wade, who, by the way, I thought this was cool that, you know, he made his return to the Heat this past Friday night, played in the game, had a crucial block, helped the Heat win that game this past Friday, didn't actually have his first practice back with the Heat until Monday. So it's been a whirlwind of a five-day period for Dwayne Wade. Here's D. Wade on how real does this feel.
So how real does this feel now after 3 days, 4 days, whatever it's been that you're back here in Miami?
Yeah, it's definitely real now. I just went through a Miami Heat practice. So it's officially real today.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been surreal, you know, these last 72 hours. You know, to be in one locker room and then in a couple hours to be playing with another team was kind of weird. But it's the best weird that I've had.
Here's D. Wade on what a Miami Heat practice actually feels like.
Miami practice is intense. You know, I miss it. You know, it's coming in and it's getting to, you know, working on the things that, you know, we're going to do. It's getting to understanding the individuals, how they're going to do it. But you're not just walking through it. You're going at it. You know, you're getting in this. For me, it's about getting in a game shape for the style of play that the Miami Heat play. So it's just intense. And, you know, it's my first one. And, you know, I told Coach, I said, I kind of missed this.
And you always hear guys who are well-traveled, played for the Heat and other organizations, that that Miami Heat practices are savage compared to most other teams. The speed, the pace they conduct, the conditioning that's required, the body fat percentage that's required, that the Heat have a higher standard. And it comes from Pat Riley. He's the one who established that. But the Heat have a higher standard for practices than most organizations have. And, you know, part of this, I'll fill in the context here. You heard the stories last week about, you know, D. Wade, who really, he and Pat Riley really, I guess, buried the hatchet in a sense when they saw each other at Henry Thomas's funeral a couple weeks back. That was the former agent, the beloved agent of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and many other NBA players. That Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley were both at the funeral and they shared just a magical hug, a magical embrace where they both knew. Like, you ever have one of those nonverbal moments where you just both know that, hey, everything's going to be all right? D. Wade and Pat Riley had one of those with that embrace. Here is Dwayne Wade asked how he would classify his and Riley's relationship.
It's always been a respect of Pat Riley, the coach, Pat Riley, the president, because, you know, he cares about winning, and he has a culture, he has a belief, a system, and I know it works. You know, it's just like any relationship. You know, you go through trying times, but, you know, overall, we've had a great relationship. We have a great amount of respect for each other. We love each other. I know, you know, I'm successful because I've been in his organization, and I've added a little bit to his legacy. Not a lot, just a little bit to his legacy, but, you know, I'm definitely an important part of, you know, this franchise that was important to him when he came here to get this franchise off the ground. So that connection and that relationship, you know, will always be forever.
I think he added a lot to Pat Riley's legacy. I mean, what would Pat Riley's legacy have been without Dwayne Wade? I mean, we'll never know for sure because, okay, I think it's easy to assume you don't win any championships in Miami without D-Wade because D-Wade hand-delivered the first one, and he was the guy who really got LeBron here to help you win those next two and was a big part of those as well. But obviously, you don't know who Pat Riley would have drafted or would have had if Dwayne Wade didn't come here. So maybe you find a way to win a title or two. I don't think LeBron comes here if Dwayne Wade wasn't here. But, I mean, if not for Dwayne Wade, Pat Riley would be known as the guy. Yeah, he awesome with the Showtime Lakers, didn't succeed with the Knicks, resigned by fax, and then just had a decent run with the Miami Heat but didn't do anything special.
Kind of like a Larry Bird with the Pacers.
What do you mean? Oh, with the Pacers. I'm like, sorry. Like I was thinking, Pacers. No, right when you said Larry Bird, I'm thinking Celtics. I'm like, well, no, Larry Bird, Pacers. Yeah, I could agree with that.
But, Dono, let's take into something into consideration. When Riley was going to draft Wade, he was in between Wade and Chris Kaman.
Oh, my God.
Chris Kaman is only known for sticking his hand on a player's pants once.
And also, like, I may be getting this wrong after so many years, but didn't Riley, and this guy wasn't available to him, obviously, but wasn't Riley really high on Darko Milicic?
Well, a ton of GMs were, too.
Right.
Like, yeah, a ton
so,
of GMs.
But, I mean, so if and he didn't, obviously, he went number two. Was it number two to Detroit, Darko? Or was it either two or three? But if Darko had fallen to the Heat, Riley probably would have drafted Darko. And he could have drafted Chris Kaman. It was number two to Detroit, Darko, right after LeBron. Wonderful. Great pick. Great pick, Pistons. And they still won a championship with that guy. I remember when Darko in one of the games in the NBA Finals that year when Detroit actually won against the Lakers, like Darko went into one of those games and was out there for like 2 minutes, looked like he had no idea where he was, just running around the court aimlessly, and then he broke his hand. And then that was Darko's contribution to that championship. They still won a title, though, but they won it in spite of Darko Milicic. Somebody says, by the way, I should try making French toast with Hawaiian bread, the best. I do love that Hawaiian bread. It's like more dense than regular bread, right? It's like God bless these Hawaiians. They've done great things with pineapple, and the Hawaiians also figured out, how do we add more carbs to bread? Like, how can we, everyone loves bread, but if we can find a way to pack in more carbohydrates into the bread that we already love, we can make it so dense, so gooey, so delicious. And they came up with one of the great breads of all time. I love Hawaiian bread. Anything with that tastes better. A little Hawaiian bread with some Hawaiian punch, with some pineapple. Oh, diabetes is what that would result in, I think. We'll play some Derek Jeter audio on the other side. We'll have more D-Wade sound later, and I want to take these phone calls. Eddie, John, and if you want to hop aboard, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Remember, 8:30 tonight is when we transition to Hurricanes basketball. Huge matchup this evening. I want you to listen to the game tonight, and maybe you're on your way to the game. You're on your way to the Watsco Center in Coral Gables. Keep it locked to WQAM. We will have Jim Larrañaga's Miami Hurricanes hosting Tony Bennett's Virginia Cavaliers, top-ranked team in the country, coming in to the Canes house here tonight. We'll have that game for you right here on this radio station, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
By the way, somebody gave me a hot tip on Twitter that I needed to look at the pictures of Channing Crowder's boat that he's selling. So he's selling this. I know nothing about boats. Like 30-foot boat, apparently. I don't know what that means, but it's. I saw a picture of it, but it's got like it's painted in Florida Gators colors. It's got a gator on the side. Like, can I buy it to wreck it? The answer is no, because I can't afford it. Certainly not to wreck it. But I think he did say in the tweet that the gator wrap can be taken off. Maybe if you could get me like a Miami Hurricanes themed boat, and if somebody else pays for it. I'm Derek Jeter. I want to buy a baseball team, but I want other people to pay for it. Why can't I do that for a boat? Why can't I start a GoFundMe account, buy Dono a boat? That's essentially what Derek Jeter did to buy this baseball team. Right? Like he felt just shy of starting a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe to say, please help me buy the Miami Marlins because I have no money. And don't worry, because after we buy it, we're just going to trade everybody who makes any money. So we don't actually have to invest it. Like, we just need to get the money to buy it, and then we're going to save a bunch of money by playing with 18, 19-year-old minor leaguers. So don't even worry about it. The GoFundMe king of Major League Baseball, Derek Jeter. Before we get to some Jeter audio, he had his State of the Marlins address today. All he needed to go out there and say was, guys, we're screwed. That could have been the State of the Marlins address. Instead, yeah, I think we're on the right track. We'll have some of the audio for you, but I want to go to the phones first. Let's talk to Eddie. You're on QAM. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, man. How you doing tonight?
Good. How about you?
I was good until we started talking about Jeter. The State of the Marlins is denial, my man.
How so?
Look, I get the fans that want to be good fans. I don't blame them. My heart's just too broken to be it.
Yeah.
Because I've watched Major League Baseball, and it's to a certain extent, it's not even Jeter. I've watched Major League Baseball approve multiple times, as you have, the prostitution of the Marlins
yes.
to benefit the 29 other teams.
Yep.
It's that simple. The Moss boys didn't get the team because they would rather sell for a hypothetical $1.2 billion as opposed to $1 billion cash on hand, which no businessman anywhere on the planet would take theoretical $1.2 over $1 billion in hand.
Good point.
Because
yeah.
now what's Milwaukee worth? What are the Red Sox worth? What are the Yankees worth? And that's where it comes from. And beyond that, like the Stanton deal, look, I get it. Stanton was a lot of fun to watch. I'm still pissy about Miguel Cabrera if we're going to get mad about bad Marlins trade. But that one really needs to be blamed on Loria. Like, I'm not giving Jeter a pass. He's in charge. It's his name on the placard on that desk. But the bottom line is, if you're paying attention, that was the final Loria poison pill. There was no winning with that. And he laughed his way out of the building while we had to swallow one last terrible expletive from Jeffrey Loria. I even get getting rid of Gordon, as much as I love watching D. Gordon, because he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
He's not there for a rebuild. But for everyone who wants to tout, and I'm not trying to pick on whoever the last caller was, but, oh, so great, we moved up from 29 to 19. Yeah, at the price of the reigning MVP, the reigning stolen base leader, three gold glove outfielders, and three outfielders with all-star credentials to them. Last time I checked, that's worth a lot more than a bag of balls.
Should
at least
be.
The Miguel Cabrera trade was seven top prospects. Let's ignore the fact that Andrew Miller is the highlight of that deal. It took him until now to be good, and he's a bullpen arm. But at least in the moment, you can't fault that deal. This deal, or this rash of deals, has smelled from moment one. Anyway, man, thank God Wade's back. We have something to talk.
great phone call. Excellent. Call anytime, Eddie. Good educated baseball fan, and got out on the high note. Thank God Wade is back. And just again, it goes to show you the contrast of how hard it is to support and root for the Miami Marlins when there are other organizations in this city, namely the Miami Heat, who do everything right. And I think the Miami Hurricanes are getting on track there, thanks to Dr. Julio Frank after taking over for Donna Shalala, and thanks to Blake James, who now under Dr. Julio Frank has the freedom to really invest in making UM football and UM basketball great again. Sorry to bother that phrase. I know that kind of hits strikes a chord with people. Make Miami great again. I could have worded that a better way, but just not creative enough for that. you know, the jury is still out on the direction the Miami Dolphins are going in, but I can tell you Stephen Ross wants to win, and Stephen Ross does not mind spending money, and Stephen Ross has money to spend. God bless that man. I wish he's gotten better success because I think he deserves it. I think with Stephen Ross's desire to be a winner and the fact that he has not pulled any stops in investing the money and the resources into trying to make the Dolphins a Super Bowl contender, I feel bad for that man that it's been a decade now and you've not gotten better results because he's trying, unlike Jeffrey Loria and unlike Derek Jeter so far. Here's Derek Jeter today during his State of the Marlins address. What should he have said today? I thought he could have just said two words. We're screwed. We're screwed, guys. What should Derek Jeter have said in his State of the Marlins address? Here's what he did say. Here's Derek Jeter on having to earn the fans' trust.
It's been a complicated history. I get the fact that some fans may be upset because of, you know, some of the moves that we've made. But like I said, my number one priority, our number one priority, is to make this organization better. And every move that we make is to do that. You know, I can't sit here and tell the fan base to trust me because they don't know me. I think you develop trust over time.
Well, okay. I can at least I can appreciate what he said at the end there, that I can't tell them to trust me because you earn and develop trust over time. That's 1,000% true. At least the fact that he's acknowledging that makes me think that he's got some self-awareness, right? That Derek Jeter knows I can't just magically come in here and take over for the wildly unpopular Jeffrey Loria and the wildly unpopular David Sampson and expect to be loved unconditionally because I'm Derek Jeter, that I actually have to earn the respect and the trust. I like hearing him say that. Here's Jeter on how they want to improve things for the fans.
It's been our focal point since we got here, making this a fun atmosphere for our fans to come to and enjoy the experience, not just in the park, but, you know, your experience as a fan starts before you even pull up. So we are we're constantly trying to make that better.
So is he trying to make it more of a baseball purist type of experience, right? Because I understand that he has already this week, he's removed the sea creature races. Those are gone now, RIP. And he wants to remove the home run sculpture, which I'm on board with. I understand that that was a very flamboyant thing in center field, that it was the brainchild of the previous ownership group. You want to make your own way. But is he going to replace that with anything? Are they going to come up with new in-game entertainment? Are they going to come up with some kind of a new, whether it be a structure or a sculpture or some kind of a ritual when a home run is hit? Are they going to replace that stuff with anything? Or does Jeter just say, you know what? I want to make Marlins baseball feel more like Yankees baseball, that this should not be a funhouse. This should be a cathedral. Like, this should not be a miniature golf course. This should be Augusta. Like, is he trying to turn a Marlins game day experience into a traditional baseball experience, or is he getting rid of stuff that he doesn't like to replace it with some other creative stuff? Because to be quite honest here, I think he needs some of that stuff in Miami, right? If you don't like this home run sculpture, you might need to think of something new. If you don't like the sea creature races, you might need like some boat races or something during the inning stretches, during the seventh inning stretch. Like, you may need to replace that stuff with other things, because in a market like this, for a team that doesn't win, you need to find other things to bring people to the ballpark. So you can't just turn this into a New York Yankees type of experience if you don't have a New York Yankees type of roster.
I think you made a good point there, too. If he's trying to turn, I guess, the Miami Marlins atmosphere into a New York Yankees type of atmosphere, I don't think that's really going to work, just because we don't have the tradition nor the, I guess, the history that the Yankees have. And that's not the Marlins' fault, per se. But it's like it's trying to make a square fit into a circle hole.
You know, and I'd said that I haven't been to Marlins Park that many times. Honestly, I've probably only been there four or five times since they moved into that building in the first place. But the times that I've gone and I've taken my wife to games, she hates sports. Could not care less. Right? Like, you can't tell her, oh, this is going to be great, we're going to go to a baseball game. But she enjoys Marlins Park because she likes the concessions. She thinks it's a beautiful building. She enjoys the sea creature races. I think she, I'll have to ask her. I can't remember if she likes the home run sculpture or not, but she enjoys some of that. She enjoys the in-game experience. Like, I can't just tell my wife, hey, we're going to go to a game and there's not really anything going on except the sports. I've got to tell her, hey, we're going to Marlins Park. She couldn't care less what's happening on the field. She enjoys that experience. And if you're taking some of those things away, you better either win a lot or you better replace it with something else. And here's Jeter, and this, I think, is a perfect segue into Derek Jeter talking about what type of team fans can expect to see on the field.
A competitive team. Bottom line, we're going to compete. We're going to have people on the field who are professionals.
Single A.
They're going to handle themselves in a first-class manner. They're going to be accountable, and they're going to compete. There's this narrative that we accept losing or we're willing to accept losing. That is not the case. We're going to put players on the field. They're going to work hard, and they're going to compete.
Well, no, what you're really saying is we accept losing now to try and win later. I know he'd never say that publicly, but you can't field a team full of minor leaguers, as promising as they may be. You can't field a team full of minor leaguers and expect to win. Like, you're going to probably, and maybe I'm wrong, you're probably going to lose 100-plus games this coming season. So I think what you meant to say there was, we've got to lose now so we can hopefully win later. You can't say that we're going to win. And here is Jeter. This is going back to the Stanton thing. Again, this is Marlins CEO Derek Jeter, one of the great bachelors of all time. He's married now. He's off the market. But this guy was a legendary for his exploits on and off the field. Loved Derek Jeter for many ways. Maybe not so much as a team owner. But here's Jeter on how they wanted to keep Stanton until Stanton said he wanted to be traded.
Actually, I said that we planned all along moving forward with him. Well, it changed.
Project Wolverine
said. He
didn't
want to be a part of the organization. You know, he had preferred to be moved. So I think that's what changed it. You know, obviously having a no-trade clause, it's entirely up to the player. So, you know, before we had the organization, we were planning on having him be a part of it.
And here, I think more important than anything we've heard already, here is Derek Jeter on the team's facial hair policy.
Well-groomed.
Beards and mustaches
what?
Are okay?
Yeah, as long as it's well-groomed. Well, I think you want people to look professional. I think if you look professional, you act professional. Yeah, I know the Yankees, obviously, you weren't allowed to have any facial hair with an exception of a mustache, which never worked for me. But, you know, I think you do want players, you know, they're individuals, they have their personalities. You want them to be able to represent themselves and their families and the organization.
That was a pretty ridiculous facial hair policy from the Yankees, that you're allowed to have mustaches but not beards. Like, you can tell, like, that was a policy grandfathered in from the 1920s, right? Because, like, back in the 1920s, well, I'm growing some facial hair, but if I grow a beard, I'm going to look sloppy. Here's what I do. I grow some hair right above my chin, and I've got a classy-looking mustache. Like, that might have been okay during the Babe Ruth era. That might have been okay even up to, like, the Mickey Mantle era. But if you expect grown men to not look like 1970s porn stars by growing mustaches, you're a little delusional. Like, if you're in the 2000s and you say, well, you can't grow a beard, but you can grow a Ron Jeremy-style stash, that's how we're going to conduct business. Kind of an antiquated policy. Miami Heat are hanging in there, my friends, with the Toronto Raptors north of the border. Heat wearing their Vice jerseys have pulled within one. Josh Richardson just buried a three. Raps on top of the Heat, 34-33, midway through the second quarter. Hopefully the Heat, who have I think are getting a nice night from Jay Rich here tonight, hopefully the Heat can find a way to pull away and win this game on the road. This would be huge, and it would be, oh, D-Wade, driving to the basket, baby. D-Wade gives the Heat a lead. 8-0 scoring run for Miami. Dwayne Wade has been all the difference here tonight. I am reporting. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, don't look now, but the Miami Heat have taken a 6-point lead over the Toronto Raptors. 47-41, Heat on top entering the late stages of the second quarter. Make that a 8-point lead. That's how bad my math is. What's 6 plus 2? It takes me like a minute to figure that out. 8, right? Think I got it?
Who cares?
And it's turn back the clock night for Dwayne Wade. He's already got a two-handed jam tonight. And Dwayne Wade, as of a couple of minutes ago, that may have changed during this run that the Heat are on. 5 assists from Dwayne Wade, and no other Heat player more than 2 assists. And like Ira Winterman tweeted, I retweeted it, goes to show you the value of this trade, the value of Dwayne Wade, that he not only is going to flash, pun intended, and score some points and be a leader in the locker room, but he can facilitate even at 36 years old. Love to see that. And Dwayne Wade contributed to what was just an excellent sports weekend for me. And I say for me because some of you may not have had all of the same takeaways that I had. But Dwayne Wade's return on Friday night, the emotions of that, the amazing reception that he got at the American Airlines Arena, and then fast forward to Sunday. Now, Tito, you know this had been creating a lot of stress for me because we're both big soccer fans. You support Man City, which means your life has been great because they demolish everybody. Another 4-0 win today for Man City. They score all the goals. They beat everybody's ass, Man City.
Best club in Europe. It's that simple.
Yeah, and they, I think they're number one in most every power ranking right now, best clubs in Europe. All right, so the team that I support, Inter Milan, yeah, very mixed results this year. Now, they are still third place in the Serie A, so they are currently in Champions League position. But the pain and the stress that I have gone through since early December of a 10-game winless run, mostly draws in there, and that included 8 league games, a couple of Italian domestic cup games, so 8 Serie A games without a victory. It was, this goes to show you what a sports fanatic I am, it was negatively affecting my mental health. I will not lie to you that when my teams go on long winless runs, when my teams struggle, it affects my life. That's how much I love sports, and I think most of you who listen to this radio station feel the same way. So finally, this past Sunday, to cap off what was an amazing sports weekend for me with Dwayne Wade's return on Friday night, and then finally, my beloved Inter Milan, who had not won a game since December 3rd, they found victory, courtesy of a 19-year-old Frenchman who is now the French Jesus, Yann Karamo, scored the game-winning goal in the second half, and it was a beauty. You can vouch for that, Tito. It was a beautiful, beautiful left-footed goal.
So nice.
And so I have for you, we'll play the game. I love to do this with soccer goals. Who did it better? We've got the Italian goal call. We've got the English goal call. We've got an Arabic goal call. And we have a Norwegian call of that goal. I love comparing the announcers. And yes, you may be angry I don't have the Spanish call. There was a Spanish call, but I couldn't find clean audio of it. So I left it out because it would sound like crap on the radio. Here first, we'll see who did it better, is the Italian goal call.
Caramo, buono lo scambio. Ancora Caramo, il sinistro!
Sinistro!
È un gol fantastico! Johan Caramo! 2-1 Inter! La gemma della gioventù francese!
All right, so that's number one. Here now is the English goal call.
Now Caramo, great feat from him. Oh, today's the day a star is born at San Siro. Yann Caramo.
See, I usually rip the English calls, but I thought that one was great. He did a great job telling the story. As a 19-year-old, first Serie A start. Game-winning goal, a star is born at the San Siro. I thought that was better than the Italian call, because the Italian, I don't know the name of the broadcaster, but that's not the guy that I like. There's another Italian play-by-play guy that I think does a much better job. That wasn't my guy. So far, I think the English call was better. Give me the Arabic goal call.
ترجع الكرة عن طريق رافينيا 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 حلو الفرنسي حتى له يا ولد يا ولد يا ولد يا ولد يا كرامو كرامو ربي يكرمه مع الانتر في هذه اللحظة مش ممكن هذا الثاني وكانت تتذكر في بداية الشوط الثاني قلت لك إذا ثم حاجة لو كرامو لأن ما تعمليش فيها عنتر زمان.
So what do you think? I would say the English one was actually the best so far. What do you think, Tito?
I would actually say that, no, I thought that Arabic one was the Arabic probably one? Better. Yeah.
Well, so the Norwegian one couldn't possibly be any good, right? Let's see how the goal sounded in Norwegian. Oh, that was so great. That was epic. I'm so glad that we found that. Can you play that for me one more time? And first of all, How can you explain to me a Norwegian man getting so excited for Italian soccer? Like, it doesn't even make any sense. This is the Norwegian goal call. I guarantee you that guy's grandfather was a Viking. Like, that guy has to be of, like, plundering, burning down cities and villages descent. That was fantastic. And you know what? Maybe it's a Scandinavian thing. Is Iceland, is that considered Scandinavia? God, I'm not even sure. Because I can remember the Icelandic goal calls from the European Cup a couple of years ago being unbelievable. So maybe that's why, like, you get that kind of enthusiasm out of Scandinavia. That was fantastic. Yeah, I mentioned how my team's doing terribly. It affects my sanity. Texter writes in, how was your sanity in 2007 when the Dolphins went 1-15? Not good. Not good, man. And I think it reaches a point where when you're that bad, you get a little bit numb to it after a while. I think the worst possible thing is to be decent and then be kind of in the playoff hunt, but then fail late in the season. I think that feels worse even than 1-15. Like a lot of these years that that the Miami Hurricanes football team has had, for example, when you win six or seven games, you have a couple of nice wins. Okay, so Iceland is part of Scandinavia. I know more geography than I thought.
Other way around.
What?
Isn't Scandinavia part of Iceland?
No, Scandinavia. It's like you would say Boston is part of New England. Scandinavia, Iceland is part of Scandinavia. Scandinavia is the broader region.
I guess, yeah. That whole area.
So I think there's no question the Norwegians did it best, man. That was fantastic. I'm now, every week, I'm going to start looking for Norwegian goal calls in soccer. Well done, sir. Well done. Remember, 8:30 tonight, pregame. Joe Zagacki and I get you set for the Miami Hurricanes and Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia, number one team in the country at the Watsco Center here tonight. Tremendous opportunity for Jim Larranaga's team to win a big conference game, which is very important, to get yourself a victory closer to the NCAA tournament, and to knock off the top-ranked team in the country. So we have that coming up later on tonight on this radio station. More Jeter talk. More Norway talk. If Eric Folero is listening, yeah, that was from Norwegia. More Heat talk, more Wade talk on the other side. You're listening to the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.